Well, we are continuing into May Mission Month this morning, but it is Mother's Day, and it is right for us to celebrate those significant women in our lives. And when mother or womanhood is done well, especially when it's lived out from a place where Jesus is at the centre of who they are, and it is the Holy Spirit that is empowering them in their character and in their behaviour and love for others, it's right that we celebrate that. And Mother's Day is a way to do that. It is a way of reminding us of the beauty makers in our lives. And we all know women or mothers who have been that, have done that for us. Whether you know, it has been biological, or whether it has been those nurturing mothers or grandmothers spiritually. They beautify people. They beautify those around them. You know, they see the potential in others where perhaps problems are seen. They nurture what is fragile. They seek to restore confidence after failure. They bring warmth into cold places. They make home feel safe and alive. And I'm sure many of us can remember, whether that was our own mothers or a significant woman in our lives who took something very ordinary and sought to make it beautiful. Perhaps it was something as simple as a meaningful note that was written to encourage us, or sitting beside us at the doctor's surgery or at hospital, or maybe it was the way they welcomed people into their home or into their sphere, the way that they helped us or the family navigate a difficult season in life. And often, as we know, so many of those acts go unnoticed, don't they? But beautifying things usually does. Beautifying something is not just about the outward appearance. It is about bringing life and restoration and healing where brokenness once existed. And when you open your Bibles, what we actually see is that this is something that God has done from the very beginning. God is a beautifier. What's more, God's people are called, they are invited to join him in this great work of restoring people and ultimately restoring his broken world. And as we continue into May Mission Month, last week we began with this thought that we are to be imitators of who Jesus is, that this is what it means to live on mission. And so too today, this idea that, as you can see on the screen, living as a beautifier. And there are strong arguments for this throughout Scripture. And the first is simply this, is that God's world reveals his beauty. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 19. It's a magnificent psalm, which describes the incredible creative work of God. And it begins with these words: "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." In other words, creation is constantly speaking about God. The colours of a sunset, the rhythm of the ocean waves, the warmth of sunlight, the songs of birds at dawn or dusk, all of creation whispers that God is glorious. At the start of this week, in my casual role with the Baptist Association, I had to drive essentially 6.5 hours west over the mountains to visit a church out there. And when I finally got through the bottleneck at Lithgow at the moment, I headed toward Mudgee, which was going to be my halfway stop. And I'd left sort of at about lunchtime. And as you know, the afternoon light at this time of year is just spectacular. And driving out of Lithgow toward Mudgee, it was unbelievable. The afternoon light breaking through the gum trees, highlighting the sandstone walls that were there, the rolling hills splashed with the colours of autumn. There were a number of places where I wished I could have stopped and just sort of sat and enjoyed it, but I already knew that I was going to arrive after dark, and so I didn't want to have to contend with all the kangaroos. So I just kept going. But it was spectacular, those few hours that I had. And really, we are so blessed to live in a country that is filled with landscapes, and its beauty is staggering. And the author of Psalm 19 says that day after day, creation pours forth speech. Without words, creation testifies to the beauty and creativity of God. And it's not only in our landscapes, we see God's artistry in humanity itself. In every culture, in every language, in every face, in every story, humanity is its own paint strokes or fingerprints of our Creator. And Genesis tells us that we were made in the image of God, and that means every person carries dignity and worth and value. But we also know that something is wrong with our world. Our world is beautiful, but it is also broken. And we know that relationships fracture, communities divide, even mothers are imperfect, and creation groans. People hurt one another. Things that were meant to flourish often decay. And yet the story of Scripture is this, is that God refuses to abandon that. To abandon that which He created, His world and us. And He actually moves toward that which is broken. And He seeks to restore in His love. And He did this, we know, through Jesus. Jesus, who lived as the perfect beautifier. When Jesus entered the world, He willingly stepped into the dust, into the pain and disorder. And we know that everywhere Jesus went, He brought about restoration. And in John 5, it's just one of many illustrations of this. If you don't know the story, in John 5, Jesus encounters a man who has been or had a disability for 38 years. And for nearly four decades, this man had sort of sat near this pool that was known to bring about healing, but he could never get into the pool itself. And so he sat on the road and he was overlooked. He was forgotten by those who walked by him. He was ignored. And he had come to accept his suffering as normal. But then Jesus comes along and notices him. And that alone is beautiful, because one of the things that beautifiers do is that they notice people others don't or others overlook. And it's Jesus who asks him, well, do you want to get well? And of course he does. And so Jesus heals him. But it's important that we notice that something else is happening here in this story, is that Jesus is not just about fixing that physical problem that he had. He is also about restoring this man. Restoring his place in society, restoring his dignity, offering him hope and belonging. And Jesus consistently brought beauty into these wounded spaces, into these spaces where he would welcome the outsider, where he would touch the untouchable, where he would eat with sinners, where he would speak with the rejected, and ultimately where he himself was wounded, so that the world might be healed. And the cross is where the brokenness of this world and beauty collides. Because through his sacrifice, through his death and resurrection, the restoration process has begun. And so after that, what did the early church then seek to do? Well, we read about it in our passage this morning. That like creation, like Jesus, the early church became beautifiers. It's remarkable what happened, that the followers of Jesus started to live exactly like him. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 paints a beautiful picture of what community looked like, Christian community looked like in the New Testament. And in verse 32, we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And throughout the New Testament, what marked Christianity as something that was countercultural to the world around them, that was beautiful, were things like generosity and hospitality and their worship together and their unity and their compassion, a shared life that Christians cared for one another so deeply that no one was left in need, that they sold what they had for the benefit of others. And imagine how confronting that must have been to an ancient world, to a community that was completely opposite, where the rich and the poor didn't eat together, didn't share meals, where outsiders were kept outside, but instead in the church they were welcomed, and where people genuinely loved one another. And what was the ultimate result of this beauty that was on display? Verse 47. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In other words, so incredible was this beauty that people were drawn into it and experienced the good news of Jesus. The gospel was made visible. And that should matter to us, because we know that the challenge facing us, like many churches in 2026, is that I guess there is this reluctance to think, or that we need the church, or to make it the priority that it is. But Acts 2 and the early church reminds us that mission is not just about proclamation, it is all about demonstration, how we live out the good news of Jesus. And when the church lives beautifully, it's how people then begin to see Jesus. Which ultimately means that we are called to live as beautifiers. This is what it means to live on mission. And we do that courageously. In other words, if we are seeking to bring beauty to our world, then that will mean that we choose not to ignore the brokenness that we see around us. Instead, we move toward it with hope. We seek to mend what has been torn, or to restore that which has been neglected, and to welcome those that have been left behind. And this work, this mission, it is one that God has invited every single one of us into. It's not for the leaders of the church or ministry teams. You don't need to be famous. You don't need to have it all together or to have any kind of platform to be perfect. You don't need that stage. You don't even need extraordinary gifts. It's simply about trying to see where God is already at work and stepping into that place, to join him there. You know, in that illustration from John chapter 5, Jesus himself says in John 5:19 that the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. And that remains true for us. That is the posture we are to carry. And the question we ask is, well, where is God already bringing about restoration? Restoration in my neighborhood or in my workplace, in my school, in my family, in someone who is lonely or overlooked. Beautifiers notice and they respond. I came across an incredible story of I guess, what this looks like that's happening in our own country at the moment. And it's taking place in a community up in Queensland in a place called Dalby. And it's led by Auntie Vicky and Uncle Billy. And the De Young community is what they call themselves, has spent 12 years restoring this neglected property that is called Bethel. And this 40-acre property once used to be a children's home during the 50s all the way through to the 80s, but sat dormant and neglected for many years. And now Auntie Vicky is using ancient practices used by First Nations peoples alongside modern science and permaculture to bring it back to life. Soil that was once dead, they are growing sustainable food, they are creating new habitats for the wildlife, for the birds, the animals and plants. But Diyan is not just about restoring the place itself, it's also about restoring people. And Auntie Vicky and Uncle Williams, they seek to integrate faith and their culture into their community. And they've created this extended family where through generous hospitality, through Christ-like living, they seek to live out the way of their Creator. The Creator who is good, who is gracious and who is kind. And a significant focus of their work is the disadvantaged young people in the wider community. And with a focus on what they call their True Fellow ministry, young people are invited to come and to live and to stay at Bethel for a short or long-term commitment. And flowing out of this beautifying work, they are seeing countless stories of transformation and healing amongst these young people. Young people finding their purpose, experiencing rest and restoration, encountering their culture and their Creator through it. They seek to reflect the heart of God, to bring beauty and restoration. And when people experience that, when they experience welcome and love, they glimpse the Creator himself. And so what might that look like for us? I mean, you might be thinking, well, that's wonderful. It's amazing that there are people like that in the world. But what can we actually do? Well, our Creator would simply say, and it would be echoed by Jesus, just start small. Beautifying happens in ordinary moments. It can be simply bringing a word of encouragement to someone who feels invisible at the moment. Could you cook a meal for someone who's struggling in your neighborhood? Could you take better care of God's creation in the way we treat our environment? Could you mentor or invest in someone? Could you create a welcoming space in your home? Choose generosity over inward thinking. Could you seek to listen deeply instead of rushing to speak? Start small. Start where you can see God is working, because every act that brings life, that brings healing, that brings dignity or hope, that is ultimately reflecting the kingdom that God is bringing about. And we can do that together. I mean, imagine if our community came to know that this was indeed a place that they could call home, that this was a place of welcome, of generosity, of compassion, care, healing, and that people encountered beauty here, that they encountered Jesus here. The gospel tells us that Jesus is making all things new. And he has invited us into that restoration project every day. Our world doesn't need more loud voices. It doesn't need people willing to argue for their way or what they believe in, because we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And people will see that if his followers are living beautifully. That is what it is to be on mission, to live beautifully in this world. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father and Creator God, we would simply come before you and we pray that you would renew us every day. That you would forgive us for where we have failed to be good stewards in our world, where we have failed to be good neighbours and to love as you want us to love. And Lord, we would pray that you would give us the courage to think beyond ourselves and to live generously, to love sacrificially, to live beautifully, and to join you in restoring what is broken. We pray for our community. We pray that you would continue to renew it, that you would renew our world, and that you would help us to become people who bring about that beauty and that healing and that hope into the places where we go. And ultimately, that our lives would point to you, Lord Jesus, to the one who is making all things new. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.